back here on the drive.
Before we get in Scott Baer and all that, there's a couple notes I want to throw out there, too. Number one, somebody on the text line, 209 from the Jiffy Loop text line, saying, "Will Kings Fan Fest be worthwhile for myself and my 2-year-old? Always went to baseball fan fest, never the Kings. Any tips?" I don't know what everybody likes, but I know it's always a blast. And I think this year they're going to have like a little mini basketball tournament, not with Kings players, but with just regular old people that's going to be going on at Doco. They always have great stuff set up and then a cool scrimmage. It's definitely a cool thing to go to, and it's free every year.
Right. That's can't beat the price.
And then also, details to come. But Monday, I just want to make sure people understand there's actually two different events. And I'll get more information. We'll get more information on the first one. There's going to be a press conference with Mayor Steinberg and Mr. Nagel and Burkel and Matt Alvarez, who will all be in town, I think at 11:30 at the bank downtown on J Street. That's I don't know, and I'll find out, and I should have found out before, if that's open to the public or not. But that's like the press conference.
Usually those aren't, but I don't know that for sure.
I don't either. I'll find out. I don't know if there's going to be a fan presence there or not. And then there will be the big event where everyone's invited.
The celebration.
We'll have thousands of people down there, and we'll get you all the times, info, and all that. And obviously, you're not going to find a spot or in town. I can promise you this. No offense to our colleagues, but there will be no media outlet that has more comprehensive up and down coverage, not just of the event itself, but also the principals involved, the people that are being interviewed, the commissioner, from the commissioner to Mr. Burkle to Mr. Nagel to Ben Gumpert, everybody involved. We will have everything for you on Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a big day, a day to celebrate, a big week. I mean, the start of the NBA season. Soccer coming to Sacramento, and
we're going to Phoenix.
We're going to Phoenix, thanks to Jiffy Lube.
Jiffy Lube.
So part of the opening night and the opening game, and then the home opener, which is always fun, which will be Friday. Mm-hmm. Man, it's a good time. And, you know, also to see teams like the Niners do well. Raiders have done well. Sac State football, UC Davis. I mean, it's a good time right now.
I'm trying to think. Like, this is
it's pretty good.
I don't want to do hyperbole or anything, but let's find another week that's had so many awesome things in the city sports-wise.
And if we could have, like, the A's still going, like, would add on to it, or just, like, something up. Yeah. But this is good.
Wait till we get the A's.
What are you saying, Dave?
No, they're staying in Oakland.
Oh, okay.
If they don't.
Yeah. If they don't, we'll be ready.
We'll be ready.
Like we are for our next guest, and all guests are coming to you via the Fire Wings Hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings. Just wing it. We look forward each and every week to talk about the Raiders and the NFL with Raiders Insider from NBC Sports Bay Area, Scott Baer. Scott, how are you?
Well, I woke up to a civil lawsuit alleging domestic violence on Trent Brown, so I've been better. Yeah. How are you guys?
Well, we'll start there, I guess, because that's not a fun story, nothing you would like to report on, but it is out there. That was filed. What do you know about that suit against Trent Brown?
Yeah, it's still pretty early right now. I'm actually looking over the suit as we're talking. So I'm going to have like ultra beat writer, unbiased observer, reporter hat on here for a while, but it is a civil lawsuit seeking unspecified damages, alleging several incidents of domestic violence and verbal abuse and breach of what is called a non-marital contract. All that stuff basically is not him being charged with a criminal offense. That hasn't happened to this stage. It's still early yet. The lawsuit was filed on the 15th, so that's yesterday. And the Raiders haven't formulated a statement yet. The NFL is still in the early stages of understanding what all this is. But if the league were to follow protocol, and I don't think that I would be stretching by saying that they're obviously going to investigate this matter. And they do have at their disposal an option called the commissioner's exemplist, which I'm sure that followers of the NFL have heard before, where while they are conducting an investigation, they can place a player on the commissioner's exemplist, which prevents that player from playing, but keeps the player getting paid until the investigation is concluded. They've used it before with situations like this. There is no certainty that they will use it in this particular instance. So that's kind of where we are right now. And again, this is going to have to kind of work itself out. I also want to bring your listeners back to, and this policy has been broken, but Raiders owner Mark Davis has been a big proponent of putting those accused of domestic violence. And again, this is a civil matter. This is not a criminal charge. And I think that that is an important distinction. But nonetheless, Mark Davis has long been a zero tolerance proponent in terms of domestic violence. It will be interesting to see what his influence is in terms of what the Raiders do with Trent Brown moving forward, whether he is suspended or put on the commissioner's exempt list. If he's suspended by the team or put on the commissioner's exempt list, that would obviously be yet another major blow for the Raiders football product as we move towards Sunday's game in Green Bay.
All right, and Scott, I think everybody understands, but just in case they don't know you or me or Jason or the morals we have and the way we think about the world, football does not matter when it comes to anything like this, especially domestic violence. It really is an afterthought, and the first and foremost thing on all our minds, I'm sure, is for the due process to happen and to find out what happened and if something did happen for Trent Brown, regardless of whether he's a football player or a fast food worker, whatever he is, to be brought to justice and serve what he needs to serve. So, but I'll be the indelicate one. Let's push that aside. Having said that, just from a straight X's and O's point of view, I have to ask you. So let's just say for a second Trent Brown were to miss this weekend or more. Let's just have a non-emotional conversation about what the Raiders do in that situation. Is that a position of depth in any way, shape, or form? You're not going to replace a Trent Brown, but what would you predict they do in that situation to bolster that line?
They have two swing tackles. They have Brandon Parker, a third-round pick that has been lackluster in his opportunities. They also have David Sharp, who they have chosen to activate above Parker in recent weeks. So the anticipation would be that maybe David Sharp would go, but it kind of goes against a lot of what the Raiders have hung their hat on in terms of their offensive line being the leader of the way that they like to play. So that would be, you know, obviously another issue, another setback for them. And also, I think that it's worth bringing up that if you look at the off-season acquisitions, right, that the Raiders have made, and I don't think Trent Brown has ever had any issues where his character was called into question in the past. But nonetheless, if you look at it as a whole, and again, this is a civil lawsuit, this is not a criminal lawsuit, but nonetheless, this is an off-field incident and a very serious accusation, of which there is a website out there that has a copy of the full lawsuit and some photos that aren't particularly there.
Yeah.
They're disturbing.
Seen some of the quotes too, the alleged things he said, and they're not. They're definitely not for the team.
Right, and so my point in saying that is that you look at who they invested in during the free agency process, and you have a person, and to lump them all together isn't fair. So hopefully the listeners can follow what I'm saying here. But you have Antonio Brown, who never played a snap. A regular season snap for the Raiders, or a snap of any kind for the Raiders. You have Vontaze Burfict, who was suspended and had his appeal upheld and is no longer available to them. And then you have this Trent Brown situation, a guy that they invested $66 million total and $36 million guaranteed over the first 2 years. Obviously, that can be subject to, you know, a suspension without pay, because he is, even if he's not charged criminally, he can be subject to violating the league's personal conduct policy. So there's a possibility out there, whether it's on the commissioner's exempt list or something more formal in terms of a suspension, there's a possibility that he would be unavailable to the Raiders. That is three major components of their of the veteran additions of their offseason that would be unavailable to them. I think, generally speaking, that is a pretty damning list right there. And
you didn't even mention, and it's not fair because he hasn't gotten involved, but if we're having a conversation, then if something does happen here, the one guy left is Richie Incognito when you're talking about questionable signings in the offseason. And again, Trent wasn't one of those questionable signings, but to your point though, I mean, you haven't even brought up Richie.
Yeah, and those types of things, like when you see that, just if we're talking that these players are unavailable, that the contributions that they have received from their free agent class or from the veteran imports that they've brought in is the appropriate thing. has not been obviously what they wanted or signed up for when they divvied out all of this money, that could have been earmarked for a Boy Scout hitting quarterbacks and for some and some other market. But nonetheless, you know, that's not a good look, and you can't, you know, so. Also, I hope you guys understand that normally freewheeling and fun-loving, you know what I mean?
I totally get it.
Our conversations, it's just all this is so new that I really have to be very careful because, again, these are civil allegations. But nonetheless, my point is that, A, it's a bad look for the players that the Raiders brought in, that this keeps happening for one reason or another. And obviously the contributions that they're getting or could possibly get from people that they have invested the most money in and were most reliant upon, two of them are not available to them, and one is subject to league discipline or at least a place on the commissioner's exempt list. Again, we don't know, but that would be a significant blow to this team, which has had a series of setbacks in this early season.
Well, Scott, one guy that they did spend money on a couple of seasons ago could be returning. What's the status for some line help with Gabe Jackson?
Yeah, Gabe Jackson, the plan is for him to play. He's in great cardiovascular shape, and they obviously need to see how he does when practices get more physical on Wednesday and Thursday. That type of addition would be a real positive. I think he's one of the NFL's best guards and maybe underrated, if that's possible, considering how high – esteem he is held in within the organization and within fans that follow the Oakland Raiders. The plan is for him to play, but of course that's subject to how he does over the course of the week. Gosh, you look back at even Tyrell Williams, who was unavailable for the Bears game. The anticipation was that, all right, he wasn't going to practice, but that he was going to, that there was some optimism that he was going to play. And obviously that warm-up did not go well, and he still hasn't practiced, and there are some question marks about whether he could play. But having Gabe Jackson back is big. The combination of Gabe Jackson and Trent Brown was always something that they were looking forward to and planned to run heavily behind. Whether that happens this week, you know, ultimately remains in question.
You know, just going back a little bit, because you did mention Vontaze Burfict, and we haven't spoken since that suspension was upheld. Reaction from inside Raider camp. I mean, this was supposed to be, and this was before the news broke this morning with Trent, but this should have been a real happy bye week for these guys coming off of the Chicago win, the Indianapolis win. They have real momentum right now. What are you hearing about the team reaction to Vontaze, and were you surprised that suspension was upheld?
I was. I thought it would be reduced in some way because I thought he had a pretty good case if it was made on the merits of the action itself. Ultimately, that was not the case. John Gruden and Derek Carr both hopped on a teleconference, an hour and a half long appeal for Vontaze Burfict to have his suspension decreased or at least ask for some sort of leniency. None was given. Definitely seemed like the – and I don't know – what was said on the NFL's behalf. They have not released that, but obviously they were, and they didn't release an additional statement after the appeal. They just went back to the original one where it basically says that he was warned that if he committed any other illegal hits or acts, that they would come down heavy. Obviously this is heavy, and it's a point that wanted to be made, and independent arbitrator Derek Brooks, who played for John Gruden in Tampa for a long time, ultimately ruled in favor of the NFL and not reducing that suspension. And I do think that it was a shock to the Raiders. They believed that it would decrease in some way, that it might still be a heavy suspension, but he might be available later in the season. Ultimately, that's not the case. And now they're left with a very odd defensive conundrum. Right, because they have two linebackers in Tyre Whitehead and Nicholas Morrow that played every snap against the Bears. And behind them, they have crickets, right? They have Dakota Allen, who's been in town for a couple weeks, and Justin Phillips, who just came off the practice squad, guys that they had enough confidence in to play zero defensive snaps against the Bears, literally zero. So when they're playing in what would be considered a base defense, they're still defensive back heavy. That is a position of strength for them, and versatility with Carl Joseph and LaMarcus Joyner and now Darryl Worley entering a more hybrid safety role, guys who are able to play closer to the line of scrimmage, guys who are good against the run, and they're going to have to get creative. And I think that that's an appropriate measure, considering that you don't want to put a guy in there just because it says LB on his football card, right? You want to try to get the best 11 in there, and that's ultimately what they're trying to do. But again, they're having to get really creative, and the coaching staff is, for all these losses. Antonio Brown is going to be an offensive centerpiece. They have completely flipped it in season to be reliant on Josh Jacobs and this offensive line as their foundation for their offense. Defensively, they had a guy in the middle who was okay from a player perspective, but was excellent in terms of arranging Paul Gunther's defense, and now they're going to have to arrange it in a much different way. And, you know, again, we're speculating here, but if Trent Brown is gone for any length of time, that team strength, the offensive line that was guiding the run game and the play action pass and protecting Derek Carr to the point that he's had, a couple sacks over the last two games, all those things change. Losing your best player at a given position, which could happen for a third time now, again, we don't know, would definitely create real problems for a team that is right in the thick of the AFC West race and could make some noise if they can somehow find a way to win one of these games and go into a softer portion of their schedule feeling good about themselves. Can they recover from yet another blow? Or even if it's not a blow, I don't care what you say, man. This is a distraction. This is going to be a topic when I get down there today. It's going to be a topic throughout the course of the week, and it's going to be felt. And these things are they're felt in the locker room, even if players say that they aren't. How they respond to these things, how they move forward from them, it all enters into the math of what has been a season covered in controversy for the Raiders for one reason or another.
Yeah, and with all that said, as we're talking with Scott Baer, Raiders Insider, you're right, you brought up the division, Scott, and in the AFC West, I mean, NFL changes each week, but for the Raiders, the course of this, in just a couple weeks, that win in Indianapolis, the win against the Bears, the bye week, before that, it looked like the Broncos couldn't win, the Chiefs were unbeatable, and the Chargers were probably better than the Raiders. Since then, you know, the Broncos have won a couple of games, the Chargers haven't found a groove, and the Chiefs look vulnerable. How realistic should the Raiders feel about their chances now in this division?
I'm sure within the locker room leading up to this day, at least, that they felt pretty confident that they could compete with anybody, because you look at, you know, the Bears are tough and the Colts just beat the Chiefs and all those types of things. You know, the one caution that you have is Jacoby Brissett and Chase Daniel. Compare that to Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, right? Little bit different category of quarterback. One that's not going to throw directly to Gary and Conley in the waning moments of a fourth quarter comeback drive. So the intensity ratchets up, but there is a belief, and look, that they're at a position at this point where, I mean, they were the number six seed after that Bears game. I know it's really early to say that, but if you can't say it, then don't want to wait, you know, eventually that you can't. They're in the thick of it. That is the case, and how they respond over the next couple of weeks. If they can somehow squeak out one, right, one, and their schedule gets more home heavy, you start to see teams with losing records. The final stretch of the season, I don't think, has a team with more than two wins at this point. And you start thinking, maybe, right? Like, maybe, as opposed to no way and holy heck, right? And that's a difference, and that is a shift, and that shift has occurred because of how they've played over the last couple of weeks. Again, if they can find a way to get one, they don't have to get two, and two shouldn't be expected. They can find a way to get one of these next two, I do believe that they would be sitting pretty, considering the flood of AFC West games that they have in front of them, their belief that they can compete with anybody, and this formula that they found playing old school, win up front types of football, that worked well in the 50s and is kind of making a little comeback now.
Scott, let's just do a quick little third of the year, just about a third of the season check-in on Derek Carr. And just extrapolating his numbers, he's on pace for just over 3,500 yards. That would be his third lowest. 19 touchdowns would tie his career low from last year. nine picks. That would be his lowest since his big year in 2016. But he's completing 73.3% of his passes, and that not only represents a career high, but it's almost 10% more than what his career average is. You look at his receivers, or lack thereof, and the drama with Antonio Brown, the resurgence, if you will, of Darren Waller. My question to you is Derek Carr having a good year?
Yeah, he is. here's the stat that I like the best, because, you know, he's always like check down Charlie, right? That people would look at that completion percentage and say, well, it's easy when you're throwing 2 feet in front of you to complete passes. But his career yards per attempt is 6.7 yards per attempt. His 2019 mark is 6.7. Last year under John Gruden, check down Charlie again, it was 7.3. So is I think that they're doing a good job of maybe not throwing the ball 25 yards downfield, which he can do, but finding ways to make short passes turn into longer gains. And the thing that is baffling to me that I have to keep saying, especially on social media, when people say I'm defending Derek Carr, but I'm discussing Derek Carr, is that he's doing what he's supposed to do, right? Everyone forgets, right, because the Raiders, Al Davis, the vertical game, right? John Gruden is a West Coast play caller, and there's a lot of short passes involved, and he prizes ball security, and at times throwing the ball away over making a mistake, and the, you know, 65-yard drive on 28 plays, right? That the best part about a 4-yard run or a 40-yard reception is that you can keep doing that over and over and over again until you score, right? And ultimately, though, he's doing what he's being asked to do. He's being efficient. He's being pretty smart in the run game, not running them into bad looks, which leads you to the dreaded Dilfer term, game manager.
Dun, dun, dun.
Is he only a game manager, right? Dun, dun, dun. And if that's the biggest criticism that you can come up with, I think Derek Carr will take that. And I think that he'll take the wins, and ultimately – in these close games, big mistakes, you can't afford them. And on a team with this talent level, you can't afford to make a lot of mistakes and expect to keep up with the teams that they're playing. So in terms of him being safe and at times smart, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that at this point, with the way this team plays, with its emphasis on the run, with its emphasis on play action pass and being smart with the football, he's doing exactly what he's being asked to do. He's earning his paycheck in the ways that coaches want him to do it.
Yeah, well, he's got a big one this week. Scott, thank you so much for joining us. That is Scott Bear. We check in with him each and every week. That's a big showdown with the Packers this week.
It is. And one more note on Derek Carr real quick. He's on pace to be sacked 25.6 times. His average is 28.4. So it's a little lower, but here's the big number. That's almost exactly half the amount of times he was sacked last year. He was sacked 51 times.
So improvement.
Very much
improvement.
So.
Improvement. All right, we got Coors Light Cold Hard Fact. What's on tap? Still a couple more things to get to here on The Drive.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Hello. How are you doing?
Hi, good. 339-1140. Welcome back to The Drive. This time on Friday, you'll get a chance to pick against Dave. just line up now because you'll beat him.
Good luck, idiots.
No, you can't do that anymore. No. You've lost too many times.
Bad luck, idiots.
That'll be coming up on Friday, our Jiffy Lube Pick'em Challenge. We look forward to that. We'll have that Raiders-Packers game.
Hey.
Well, are you putting the – well, because you do the spread, so you'll have the Niners and Washington game, right?
Yeah.
And the third
Niners,
game.
Washington, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, quick shout-out. I know this isn't worth a segment, but did you see Carson Edwards last night?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Their highlights were on at one point during the – we were in one of the breaks, and I wanted to say to you, like, that's something that I would hope would happen tonight. Like it, Golden, right? I mean, there's nothing really to be too excited about for Melbourne United and the Kings tonight, but – that's the fun part about the NBA. It's just, was it in a quarter or in a half?
So he had eight threes in the third.
In one quarter.
26 points in the third alone. He had 30 for the game. And from, I picked up on it when he was like four threes in. And I was following it along. And that was against the Cavs, like, first team. Mm. The Boston had put in basically.
What does that mean?
Boston basically put in their bench plus G leaguers. And Carson Edwards is one of those guys. If you don't know who we're talking about, Carson Edwards is a rookie. He was a second rounder out of Purdue. A lot of people remember Carson Edwards from the NCAA tournament last year.
The Virginia game.
My goodness.
Wow, it was so much fun.
And
Kyle Guy probably didn't enjoy that.
Kyle Guy did not enjoy that. The Sixers drafted him. They got that pick from Cleveland via New York and Orlando and traded it to Boston. Danny Ainge, once again, he's a 33rd pick in the draft. Pick just 8 spots ahead of the Kings second rounder, Justin James. I don't know if this kid's going to be good, but man, does he have the ability to light it up.
Yeah, and he's comfortable shooting. Like, he'll just continue to shoot and from any range. And so, yeah, he made 8 threes yesterday. That was awesome. Jay, do you have
even that much.
Coors Light, Cold Hard Fact?
Yes. I do. I got 2 of them, actually.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Let's start with baseball.
Baseball.
You know, the Nationals swept the Cardinals to advance to the World Series for the first time in franchise history last night. But that's not the only thing that is cold or hard about this fact. The last team to win the World Series in their first appearance in the Fall Classic was the Angels in 2002. Mm. Now, there have been 4 teams since then to make the World Series in their first try. All of them lost. The 2010 Rangers, the 2008 Rays, the 2007 Rockies, and the 2005 Astros.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Name the teams. These are teams that made the World Series but lost in the first try?
Yeah. Correct. Okay. It was the 2010 Rangers, the 2008 Rays, the 2007 Rockies, and the 2005 Astros.
And the Angels were 0-2 but won. Yeah.
I have absolutely no memory of the Rays being in the World Series.
What?
None.
Joe Maddon?
I have no memory of that.
So you don't know who they played?
It's like I have a complete blank.
That was
a complete blank. That was just 11 years ago.
That's the World Series where David Freese hit like 50 million home runs, right? Cardinals? Or did they play the Phillies?
Phillies.
Phillies, okay.
Cardinals beat the Rangers.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Golly. By the way, Joe Maddon, who will very soon, if not now, be an Angel.
Yeah, I thought the day they moved on that he was going to get it, but then there was a delay, and I thought maybe the Dodgers left that open.
Yeah.
But Dodgers saying they're going with Dave Roberts. Jay, you have Dave Roberts again.
Yay.
Yeah.
Second cold hard fact. This is not really a fact so much as my opinion, but I feel it's a fact because I'm really good at NBA jerseys. The Brooklyn Nets and Los Angeles Clippers released a city edition jersey yesterday, and I believe the Nets was like, it's a different name edition jersey. 2 of the ugliest jerseys in the history of the NBA.
Wrong.
Are they baby blue?
No.
Right, exactly.
No. Like, listen, I don't really care for the King City Edition jerseys. I like the color scheme. I don't like the front. These are awful.
Wrong.
Look them up.
The Clippers. I get.
The Clippers look like a cover of Grand Theft Auto.
I get it. Or what's that one?
Saints Row. Yeah.
I totally get it. I love the black and white. I really do. And here's the thing. I think part of the reason why I really like these Clippers jerseys is because I've been saying it for a while. Listen, the Clippers are the odds-on favorite to win the title this year. It's the Clippers.
Sure.
Like, if I – well,
they're the favorite.
They're
right.
The conversation. If I'm Steve Ballmer, I seriously look at – like, I think they need to change the name.
No.
I change their color scheme. Give them a completely different look.
No.
The Clippers are forever – like, first off, you're a pirate ship.
So change it to what?
I don't know. Change it to
the Buccaneers.
Gridlock.
Change it to the
traffic.
Something.
Would you rather be a Carnival Cruise Line ship?
Why can't you call them the Raiders? That would work down there.
Oh man.
I mean, the Cardinals work in multiple sports. Why can't you call them the Raiders? Call them something. Call them something cool. I'm a Clipper. I'm gonna transport you to things.
The Giants. So we can have the football Giants, the baseball Giants, the basketball Giants.
They had it figured out last year with their city edition jerseys, the 88 Olympic style ones. Those were so clean. And then they come with this.
Black and white is such a cool sports color.
It's a cool sports color. I'm talking more about the font. It just is awful.
The font, they could have done a little better with the font.
And I told you about Brooklyn's. I just don't like when you don't spell the...
I hate it, too.
Just a few extra letters.
But
they spell it? BKLYN?
Yeah, and it looks like a graphic from a Nintendo 64 game.
It kind of does. I don't know. You could have probably done better with the font. I do like the color scheme. And really, more than anything, I like that they're different from those red, white, and blue. I don't know. I think the Clippers uniforms are weak.
Oh, right now, yeah. They have some of them.
Yeah.
They were okay for years, but then they switched them up probably.
No, that was the Thunder, dude.
2 or 3 seasons. No, it wasn't.
But yeah, they were okay. See? That's the Thunder. We're not. That's LA, Jay.
I hate you. Like, Since the Dodgers lost, like, my hate for you has just skyrocketed, and you're not helping it at all.
Let me ask you this, though. If the Clippers win the title this year, I'll bet you a lot of Clipper fans are really going to love these jerseys.
Oh, you're damn right they
see
are.
See them everywhere.
Really. And I think they're cooler looking than the Lakers. Well, anything's cooler than the Laker jerseys. Lakers, that's a stupid name, too.
Yeah, there's no lakes
there's
in
no
L.A.
lakes in L.A.
Is there even a man-made lake in L.A.?
Okay, which is dumber?
Seen a lot of Kings in Sacramento?
Yeah.
Name seven of them that aren't on the team.
Okay.
Berger,
Kevin Nagel.
Kevin.
Yeah, there's at least.
I asked for it.
Berger.
Yeah, there's more than
Berger.
One.
That's it.
Berger's the win. That's a mic drop.
Yeah, see you later.
I think there's like a King Taco, too.
Which is the dumber name? The Lakers or the Jazz for Utah?
The Jazz.
Like a lot of Jazz in Utah, really? Is that like hot?
Have you ever been to Salt Lake City?
I have.
There is zero jazz music happening in Salt Lake.
But let me add an addendum to that. Salt Lake City is a fine city. I've been there many times, and I enjoy it quite a bit. In fact, one of my favorite cities to visit.
Okay.
But
for those of you
huge
that are
fan of Salt Lake City,
for those of you that
probably
aware,
would move there if I wasn't in Sacramento, would move there.
Okay.
Great place to have a family.
So can they be the Lakers?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Salt Lakers City.
Dude, the Utah Lakers make so much more sense than the LA Lakers.
And guess what? They play jazz music in LA. Switch the names.
The LA Jazz and the Utah Lakers. That makes more sense. Honestly, it should be the LA Pelicans. It should be the New Orleans Jazz and the Utah Lakers. That's what it should be.
But isn't like Pelican like the state bird in Louisiana?
Yeah, but that's dumb, and so are the Lakers. So just move it over. Right? Like it should be
there
like,
we go. Jade, that's
what
the
say?
One. LA Pigeons.
Yes. The LA Tar Pits. Something. What would be something that would be LA?
Smog.
I said, right? Yeah, commute, gridlock, traffic.
You know, I mean, well, the other thing there, here's another thing I kind of always, I don't know why, I was just always kind of queasy about because I'm thinking, well, what do you associate with LA? This, that. Well, what about the LA earthquakes, right? They have earthquakes. But then right. See that look you're giving me? That's the exact right look to give me, but it's the San Jose earthquakes.
Yeah.
And I never understood that. I was like, why is that your name?
There's been an earthquake in San Jose, hasn't there?
Loma Prieta was like that's
30 years
in
tomorrow.
That area.
Well, there you go. You answered
why.
Why
would you, I guess Miami Hurricanes.
Right.
But I'm thinking, I mean, for me, like the Oklahoma Tornadoes.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I've always felt a little queasy about your team name being named after like this massively destructive killing thing, which on one hand I get it. You're like, oh yeah, that's an intimidating name, but it's like, no, it's affected your community. Like,
right.
People have died from earthquakes.
Would you rather be a Florida Hurricane or a Marlin? Think about that.
Well, I mean, Marlin is spirit. I'm a Marlin, but I don't know that many, but here's my point. Okay. Yes. A Hurricane is more devastating than a Marlin. No doubt. But, like, I don't think too many Marlins fans or their families have been affected by Marlin deaths.
How do you know?
I don't. But I'm just saying I don't think a lot of people have been accosted by Marlins that are fans. I think a lot of people have been affected by hurricanes in that area and San Jose with earthquakes. I don't know. I'm just saying for me, I was always like, that's kind of strange, that name.
L.A. Stars.
L.A. Stars. It's great. That's fine. You can be the L.A. Randy Newmans because he did that song. That's fine.
He loves L.A.
The L.A. Botox. Bow tie? Botoxes. Something.
The plastics. Just
yes, the
overall.
L.A.
Cover
plastics.
The whole thing.
Honestly, the L.A. traffic or L.A. smog would be, ooh, I'm smog. Like, they could have cool, like, they could have a cool mascot. Just like a big smog.
Instead of a smoke machine, they have a smog machine during pregame intros.
Smog just goes and, like, covers people. Yeah. Like, I'm a smog. Man.
Good exercise, guys, on renaming the Lakers.
Would you be a smog or I'm a smog? It'd be the L.A. smog or the L.A. smogs?
Smog.
Smog.
And the fans are the smoggers.
I also don't like team names that don't end in an S. Like, oh, I'm a Heat. I'm a Jazz.
That ends in Z.
I'm a Magic.
That ends in C.
Well, I'm just saying that don't end in S.
Oh.
That don't end in S.
Red Sox.
Red Sox.
I'm a Sox. Well, those are stupid anyways. Look out. Here comes a Red Sox. Oh, no. Don't get me, Red Sox. White Sox? We got to go.
All right. What's on tap? That's next.
It's the end of the show, but it's the start of your workday. Pour a cold one. It's What's on Tap. Here's What's on Tap.
Hey, What's on Tap for today? Kings basketball.
Ah!
Kings preseason basketball. Melbourne United. As you are going to be there.
I will be there. Yeah. Yes, I will be there. And this will be my first trip there this season, the preseason.
First of many.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to every year. I like to test the popcorn stations. I will be getting multiple bags of popcorn.
We'll see all the pictures.
Of course, you will see all the pictures because people just can't respect privacy. But what can you do? I don't know what the brand is this year. Last year they had a little bit of a change. I know they went with a different kernel last year. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit fluffier, actually an upgrade from the like dyed yellow version. Looking forward to it, and hopefully, and I pray every year that this remains. There is one concession stand that has movie theater butter, and every year I.
You'll find it.
Knock on wood, cross my fingers that they haven't removed that for some like health initiative.
Why is movie butter like the best thing ever?
It is good.
Because it's so terrible. It's like oil and unsaturated fats.
So it's good and good for you.
Yeah, it's good and good for you. And listen, I know they're all into like health and farm to fork and blah de blah blah. I
you're not into that.
I do not care about farm. I know it's like sacrilege being from here, and I truly don't care about it. Just I want fork to mouth.
Yeah.
And it
and if
be
the food's good.
Good,
that's fine. That's it could all come I from about. A farm.
It could come from a farm.
Yeah.
It could come from outer space.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't look at something and go, oh, why? You know, this came. Now, listen, I support our local farms.
Sure.
I go up to Davis Ranch at least a couple times a year and get fresh produce. And we have a little garden at the house. And I'm all for that. There's little farmers markets all over the place. But truly, you know, put a tomato that was picked at your house versus a tomato I got from local supermarket and you can tell if they're fresh, if they're right off the vine.
Yeah, those are really good.
Those are really good. But yeah. Other than that, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, so let's get the – you got to have good popcorn. Steph Curry put out his popcorn rankings last year, and I think Sacramento was in the top 10.
I never saw that.
Yeah, he actually ranked the popcorn throughout the entire NBA. And,
okay.
And I'm looking for something better.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's on tap breaking news?
Oh.
Game 4 of the ALCS has been postponed.
Oh, it did. I was just
that is official.
Okay, because I was actually looking at New York weather. I had it up here. Rain is starting with a 100% chance at 3:30, then 4, 5, all the way till about 11. It'll be at 60%, 11 tonight. So it's been ruled out.
You know what that means? It has been. That is reported by Ken Rosenthal. Get your ear to the old radio and listen to some Kings basketball.
That's right. Yeah.
That is right.
Love it.
Didn't get that worked out to get any TV coverage for tonight? Were you busy with Republic or something?
No. Yeah. So, well, the Kings did come through, so they're going to do what they did last time. So you're going to get the scoreboard feed, but in a much better definition than the one we saw with the Jazz. And then they will have the sweet, sultry sounds of Gary Gerald and maybe a little Jason Ross popped in there.
No, I better behave.
You better behave.
Watching that Jazz, it was like watching an 8-bit Nintendo game.
It was really bad.
It was so bad.
And so we were watching it in here. We could hear G-Man, and the radio's way ahead of the feed. Mm. So it's almost like your own DVR. So if G-Man and Grant were kind of going nuts on a play, it'd be like, oh, well, now I can go watch it. But it was like 45 seconds behind.
Yeah, I can't. I couldn't do it,
Some
man.
People matched it up. But
The Kings Twitter account, which is the best Twitter account in all of basketball and perhaps all the sports, they had a really good thing they started, and then they put a poll out. And I don't know why people voted against this, but the resolution was so bad that they said, which would you rather do? Would you rather see the highlights like of this horrible resolution, or would you rather us hand draw pictures?
Yeah.
And it was like this really bad picture of somebody dunking. I was all for the hand drawings, and they stopped for some reason. I was very upset. Very upset indeed. From the text line, 44-1140, I don't know if this is a real thing or not. Speaking of theater popcorn, does the lovely Mrs. Ross, does she still do the stop at the theater for popcorn on Fridays?
I just did that response. It was kind of like her thing. So what she would do is literally go buy, or I would for her as well, a large popcorn from the movie theater, because when you buy a large, you get a refill. And she was a regular enough instead of, and we weren't going to watch a movie, so go buy the large and then ask for the manager's refill. And they would literally fill up a Ziploc, like a big gallon. And so you're buying the large, which, I don't know, it's expensive.
Sure.
Whatever movie theater popcorn is, maybe more than that. But then you get the extra one, and we'd come home and have two things of popcorn
get
for the weekend.
Out!
It's kind of a Friday. Like, oh, I'll just wait till the weekend. It would be a weekend.
That's a hustle that I have never
heard
of.
But it's no different than, you know, if you went in and watched the movie, and then you get the refill when you leave.
Not at all. I'm just saying, I never thought of that.
Yeah. So it's like, hey, if you're able to buy the large and get the refill, so you're just taking the refill to go.
That is a game changer, Jason.
I have a weekend.
I have a movie theater on the way home from my house every day.
Right. Well, you don't have to do it every day. Yeah. Right. It was a good weekend
treat.
Look
who you're talking to.
All right.
Twice as three egg rolls a week guy.
Why that three different types of egg rolls? Thank you.
If you are buying the full large, you get the refill. You don't need to get another bucket, but they usually give you like a Ziploc.
I am really excited for that. Also, speaking of egg rolls this weekend, I'll be trying a new egg roll.
Which one?
We'll be doing breakfast egg rolls.
God, why are you gentrifying egg rolls?
What are you talking about? I'm just creating. I don't know what I'm about to say. It's going to be. So we're going to do egg roll, but it's going to be filled with cream cheese and jam, and then you wrap it up.
That's gentrifying.
And then you deep fry it, and then you put some powdered sugar on top and eat it for breakfast, and dip it in whipped cream.
Try it.
Don't do that.
You don't think you'd like it?
No, I probably would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a cheese blintz?
A what?
Maybe once.
Bless you.
Yeah.
Cheese blintzes, dude.
Do you put anything in your popcorn, by the way?
So generally,
peanut M&Ms is the way to go.
I have tried peanut M&Ms and popcorn, and it's great. I prefer to keep my peanut M&Ms, though, separate, and so I have the option of eating a handful of popcorn and then throwing a peanut M&M in there, but I'm not committed to for the entire bowl.
Yeah.
I generally am just simply a butter guy with the natural salt on there. Okay. But on occasion, I've been known. You know what's honestly pretty good is if you're making popcorn at home, you butter it up, salt, all that stuff, put a nice big chunk of ground pepper in there. Have you ever had black pepper popcorn?
Yeah, I have.
It's very good. Parmesan cheese is also good. Let's see. I'm not really a big fan of the sweet popcorns.
No caramel corn?
Caramel corn's different. I do have a sweet spot for caramel corn, no pun intended, but I'm not a huge kettle corn guy.
Oh, I like kettle corn.
Kettle corn's good.
I think the big problem was when I used to work at old Quad 106.5 downtown, they used to have a farmer's market every Friday, and we'd go down there, and the kettle corn person would give us these two long bags of kettle corn. I used to take them home.
Would they make them home?
Sometimes they wouldn't, but after a while I had all these bags of kettle corn piled up because they insist we take one.
Right.
And you just get out of it.
You know what's super underrated is cheddar popcorn.
Dude, Orville Redenbacher has a microwave cheddar popcorn that is out of this world. Problem is it leaves your hands orange and greasy, and I'm not a big finger licker. So then I just have this stuff on. I'm very weird when I eat. I don't like to lick my fingers. Like if I eat ribs, I eat them one-handed. Mm-hmm. I don't dirty both hands.
Wet naps, bro. Wet naps.
Well, no, dude.
You go to Fire Wings, are you doing boneless or?
I'm a bone-in guy, but one-handed.
One-handed.
Always one-handed.
If you could use a fork, would you?
You know what I will do? I'll use a fork if there's boneless. I will.
Same.
But here's what I do. I don't like cut it. I'll just spear it and then like just take a bite out of it and then finish the other bite.
Interesting.
But yeah, the only thing is the flats at Fire Wings, you have to use two hands for.
Yeah.
So, but I do the thing, you know, you can, there's a YouTube video on, why do you get me going on this? Where you can twist off the little thing off the top bone and you can actually make the flats boneless. And if you get very good at it, it's actually better than the drumstick.
I just feel like we're going to hear that I'm not a big finger licker phrase.
Probably. But people
might be isolated, might not be.
Okay, people lick their fingers, but then that's the thing. Like, nobody remembers, like, where have your fingers been? And I'm not talking about, like, in your nose. Right. But I'm saying, like, even just like, okay, I just touched this table.
Right.
All right, well, what if, like, Doug wiped a booger on there 3 years ago?
Yeah, but don't you wash your hands before you eat?
I do, but I'm also really weird about that. Like, they have to be sterling, like, alcohol swabbed and or what's that stuff, the squirty stuff,
sanitizer,
thank you,
soap.
Yeah, that
soap. All right, well, we do have Kings basketball tonight. Unfortunately, no American League Championship Series, as Jay mentioned, that game has been postponed. So that's it for us. Great news for soccer. Yay. Coming to Sacramento. More details on that in the coming days. For Jay, for Dave, I'm Jason. Jim Rome is next.